bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Today, our study comes from the New Testament book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, where I would like to share with you some thoughts concerning grace, specifically God's saving grace. While all sound teaching comes from Scripture, this format will be more devotional in nature rather than our usual teaching method. But first, let's be encouraged by this special musical presentation, How Great Thou Art, by Elizabeth Casper.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy in humble adoration.
This morning I encourage you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And there I'd like to read from the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. Once again, we'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In these verses, which are very well known, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Grace is one of the most beautiful and significant terms of the Christian faith. It is a term that is teeming with richness and meaning. It is a term that conveys that everything we receive from God is absolutely undeserved. Or on the flip side, we could say that it is freely and graciously given. But it is given according to divine purpose. And that purpose is mediated or brought into reality by God's grace. So at the very core, grace encompasses everything about us and our relationship with the Lord. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that goes on between us and the Lord that is not predicated on grace. Now, although grace is a vital and necessary part of the Christian faith, the Christian life, the Christian experience, even though the concept of grace permeates the Word of God, and even though we claim to be familiar with the concept of grace, the reality is that a lot of us really don't know exactly what it is and why it is so amazing. For example, sometimes grace is often defined as God's undeserved or unmerited love and favor. And that's true. But what exactly does that mean? One writer says that grace is God's goodness towards those who deserve only punishment. Now, from this, we can draw two major features relating to grace. First of all, grace is an extension of God's love. The essence of love is always action-oriented. It is the desire to meet a need that someone cannot feel on their own. Now, a thought that I came across many years ago is that love can only be known by the actions it produces. In other words, contrary to how many in Western culture view love, which is predominantly emotionally, from the scriptural vantage point, love is not primarily emotional, but it is primarily volitional, that is, an act of the will. Love is not simply words that come out of our mouth, but rather it has to do with the actions that flow from our life. So again, the statement is, love can only be known by the actions it produces. So grace has to do with God lovingly providing for us what we need because we cannot provide it for ourselves. And the bottom line is that this encompasses literally everything. It encompasses everything spiritually, everything eternally, and everything temporally. Again, as I said earlier, there is nothing that goes on between us and the Lord that is not predicated on grace. Now, the second major feature of grace is that grace is completely undeserved. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to earn or to merit grace. We cannot merit God's loving actions and His provisions. You see, the moment that we begin to think that we deserve anything from God is the exact moment that we have lost an understanding of grace. In fact, the only thing that we do deserve from God is his judgment of hell. So as grace encompasses everything about us, about his loving purposes for us, this is underscored by the fact that everything that God does for us is completely undeserved. There is nothing that we can do to deserve it. So the fact that we receive anything good from God is truly an amazing thing. Now, when you begin to look at grace from a scriptural perspective, you begin to see that it really is a multifaceted thing. For example, whenever we think of grace, we normally think in terms of salvation. But there is also what is called common grace. And this has to do with God's common goodness that is demonstrated to all people, saved and unsaved alike. In certain ways, God is kind and gracious to all people. For example, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, it teaches us that God causes it to rain on the just as well as the unjust. So there is a common goodness that is displayed to all people. So anything good in a person's life is the result of grace. Now the sad thing is that a lot of people appreciate those good types of things, but they refuse to give God the honor or the credit. They refuse to acknowledge the goodness of God in freely giving or providing those things for us. And one of the great tragedies about this is that our rejection of giving God that type of credit, that type of glory in response, is that that heaps up judgment against us. So as you look at your life, if there's anything good in your life, it's the result of grace. Now, more specifically, there is what we call saving grace, the saving grace of God. Now, this is what most people have in mind whenever we think about grace. And in this passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the summary thought is that we are saved by grace through faith. Now, this refers to every specific thing that God has done to accomplish our salvation. And there are things that God has done that relates specifically to the Father. There are things that are done that are related specifically to God the Son. And then there are things that are related specifically to God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes this is referred to as the intra-Trinitarian covenant, the covenant of grace or the covenant of redemption, what God has done, what he has planned, what he has purposed in his actions, the actions of the Son, and the actions of the Holy Spirit to bring about our full and complete salvation. Now, this culminates in bringing us to saving faith in Jesus. Now, when we think about a person coming to faith in Jesus Christ, this brings us to a pinnacle that we can call justification. Everything either leads to justification or flows from justification. This includes the works of God's electing grace, his redeeming grace, his regenerating grace, his justifying grace, his sanctifying grace, and everything else that is part of the salvation process. Now, in bringing us to saving faith in Christ, or our conversion, part of the Holy Spirit's work is to convict us of our sins and our need of a Savior. God's grace is seen when we come to the realization that we are sinners and that we are deserving of his eternal wrath, and that without Jesus Christ, we have no hope of escaping his righteous judgment. Now, this phase or this process is often referred to as conversion. And conversion is made up of two key parts. There is repentance and faith. Repentance involves a turning away from sin. Now, this term historically was actually used as a military term describing soldiers that were marching in one direction and then turning around and marching in a different direction. Or more specifically, when the command to about face is given. You have soldiers marching about face, and then they turn around and they begin to march in a different direction. This is what repentance is. You know, this is what conversion is. It is a sinner that is marching or living or walking in a certain way in life, which is always against or from God. But in God's grace, they are turned. They're turned, and now they begin to walk in a way towards the Lord, or in a way that reflects a relationship of walking with the Lord. Now, repentance is a turning away from sin. Now, repentance is not only made up of a genuine sorrowfulness of sin, but it is a determination to turn from the acts of sin. Now, the bottom line is that in life, no one does that perfectly. But it does mean that our life as a whole has a new direction. It doesn't necessarily mean perfection, but it does mean a new direction. And that's very real. That's very substantive. That's demonstrative in a person's life, that we are not the same as we used to be if Christ really has changed us. Now again, it doesn't mean that we're perfect, that we're sinless, but it does mean that a very real change has taken place. We are not the same as we used to be, and we don't do the things that we used to do, or at least to the same extent. We struggle, we gain victory at times, and we persevere on. So God's grace enables us to repent of our sins, expressing genuine brokenness and sorrowfulness for our sins, and that determination to turn away from them. Now that's what we might call the negative side. The positive side is that conversion is also made up of faith. So when we turn away from sin by necessity, there is a turning to Christ. Now faith sees, recognizes, and understands the message of the gospel about Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. And so that faith, having understanding, having content, is marked by embracing or trusting him, trusting the truth of the gospel about Jesus Christ as being our only hope of salvation. So as we turn from sin and conviction, we turn to Christ as the only one who is able to help us. Our faith is that he is our Savior, our Redeemer, that he paid for my sins on the cross through his sacrificial death, that only through him is there genuine forgiveness of sins. So it is grace that brings us to this crisis point regarding our sins. On the one hand, there is the fear of God's judgment. But on the other hand, as the great hymn Amazing Grace teaches us, it is grace that also relieves our fears. Grace relieves our fears by, first of all, pointing us to Christ and drawing us to embrace him by faith as our only hope of salvation. Now, why is faith so important? Because it's the opposite of unbelief. Where there is unbelief, there is a whole established lifestyle that is reflective of unbelief. And that lifestyle stands in absolute opposition to God. It stands in defiance of God. Faith, on the other hand, is the complete opposite. Faith is believing, it is trusting the truth about God and about the truth of ourselves. Faith is also the opposite of self-reliance. our fallen world has this mentality that we don't need God. We don't need a Savior. We don't need to listen to what the Word of God says. In fact, this is what is going on in a very prevalent way in our society today. If there is no God, if there is no right and wrong, then there is no judgment. There is no future of heaven and hell. You know, when we die, that's it. There is no afterlife. There is no judgment. And so we don't need to be fearful of anything that is right or wrong. In fact, there is nothing that is right or wrong at any given time. And so this is marked by a sense of self-reliance, rejecting God, and living how we want. But again, faith embraces the truth and realizes that we cannot do this on our own, that we are dependent upon God. And that dependence upon God literally marks everything. So the fruit of grace is belief. It is trust. It is relying upon the Lord, upon the message. An absence of grace is just the opposite. It is a rejection of what is true. So when we come to that recognition of being saved by grace through faith, there is nothing at all that we can claim that we have contributed to as regarding salvation. We add nothing to the perfect work of Christ. Faith is simply embracing that truth. It is recognizing that truth, that salvation is only in Jesus. And so when that grace is operative in our life, according to the Word of God, it works. When God changes our heart from death unto life, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, which enables us, and not just enables, but follows through the whole process of casting our faith upon the Lord and being able to witness the full completion of all that God has done for us in our salvation. Even the future aspect of salvation, which is our glorification. But that faith embraces that the only reason that we are saved is because the goodness and the loving nature of God has provided so freely and so graciously for our salvation. But until next week, may the Lord bless you, is our prayers.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word, and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.